the 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the three verses that Jeanette read earlier. And these are the closing, this is 2 Corinthians, so this is the last letter, even though Paul wrote four letters to the Corinthians. This part right here is actually the very, very end of the last letter that Paul wrote to the folks who lived in Corinth. And so these are his closing remarks. This is his last chance to speak into their lives. And you'll notice that he's not asking that they'll take up a big offering and send it to him. You know, it has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with, you know, with the things of this world. But I want you to see here what Paul says. Finally, you start verse 11. Finally, brothers and sisters. He not want you to see how he's relating to them. He's not saying, finally, Christian followers, as I'm the leader and you're the follower. No, he says, finally, my brothers and my sisters, we're in this race together. And I want you to do this for me, please. These are my last words to you. Put everything in order. He's written four books, four letters to them, dealing with errors in the church. And you know, it's so easy to sweep stuff under the rug. And Paul is saying, let's get it in order. Okay? Don't put it off. Get it done. There's too much at stake. What have you been putting off? Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Listen to my appeal. He's saying, I'm begging you. He wants you to do these things. Agree with one another. We don't have to be contrary with each other. You know, Judy could say something that I might look at or listen to and think about for a minute. I'd say, well, okay, but if I want to be nitpicky about it, this really kind of rubbed me kind of raw or whatever, even though I know she didn't mean it that way. And, he's saying, agree with one another. Don't find reasons to disagree. Find reasons to agree. Find reasons to be there. Once Terry and I stopped when we're ministering in India, when we stop building our own kingdom, and the Set Free Churches of India were one of the fastest growing denominations in India. I can't complain about the success of the ministry in India, but once we stopped looking at this is what we're doing, and that means we're fighting against everybody else, once we started looking for commonality with all of the churches over there, God opened up the doors and did so many wonderful things for us. There is power in unity. Stop, pardon me? Amen. Stop looking at our differences. Well, she has long hair. He has short hair. This person has blue eyes. This person has brown eyes. You know, it's interesting, as I'm filling out the ID cards for our pastors in India, it's real easy. Hair, black. Eyes, black. You know, everything, that's, their hair is by nature black, and their eyes are black, and I don't have to, what were the color of that person's eyes? Oh, that's right, they're from India. Black. Okay? And so stop looking at the differences, and let's look. And every one of us here, I can name one thing that we have in common. We're hoping that we're going to make it to heaven. We have the assurance of God's word we're going to get there. And since that's something that we have in common, that's something we can work at together. Amen? So he says, agree with one another. Number two, live in peace. All right? Now, all of us know people who like to stir the pot. Okay? Dale's pointing at Mary Ann. And, no, Mary Ann is not a pot stirrer. Okay? Dale, on the other hand. There we go. All right. He said, live in peace. peace. We have Perry's oldest brother, Dennis. God rest that man's soul. He would come in, when we all lived in Arkansas, he would come into his parents' home, and he would just start on with why everybody else is wrong about the Bible except for him. And y'all going to hell, and all that good stuff. Why stir the pot? Why raise dissension? Paul says, live in peace. Live in peace. And we can find something in each one another that we can agree with, that we can embrace, that we can live in peace. Amen? And then the third thing that he says, and the God of love and peace will be with you. If you do these two things, then the God of love and peace will be with you. Because if he's the God of love and peace, and we're walking in God's love and peace, then we're on the same page. And then the third thing, greet each other with a holy kiss. Amen? You know what that does? That tears down all division. To give a hug or a kiss or whatever, that tears down the walls that the world has built up. Amen. When you come to someone and you greet them, it's not so much, we see that too much here in the United States, but especially in Europe and in Asia. You know, you just can't kiss a brother on the cheek and then turn around and stab him in the back. Amen? You just don't do that. And one of the greatest breakthroughs spiritually that Terry and I ever experienced was when we were dealing with, I've told you the story before, dealing with the Dalits, the untouchables, the lowest caste. Nobody could touch them and be clean. You had to go through a purification ceremony if you touched a Dalit. You couldn't marry. A Dalit could not marry outside of their caste. They had to marry another Dalit. And so we were having a crusade just for the Dalits. Because, you know why? The other churches in America wouldn't do it. We want to have a crusade in the soccer stadium that holds 30 or 40,000 people so that we get all the publicity. If you do something with the Dalits, you're down some back alley somewhere. We were out at the airport in Delhi, in just a little area. There probably was, 150 people there that night. Most people that have missionary programs wouldn't mess with 150 people. But we were there and had one guy come forward for salvation. And you could tell that the Holy Spirit was moving. I led him to the Lord. And his response was, he fell at my feet and started kissing my feet. That was pretty uncomfortable. And so I told the interpreter, stand this man up. Stand him on his feet. And I had somebody who was translating over the microphone with me. And I said, you tell him that now we are brothers in Christ. As brothers, we don't kiss each other's feet. As brothers, we embrace. And I gave that guy a great big hug. That's unheard of. A white guy touched an untouchable. A white guy embraced a Dalit. You know what happened? Everybody came forward. People said, man, if this guy will touch us when our neighbors won't touch us, if this guy will embrace us, and he comes all the way from America just to come here to embrace us, then that's the Jesus I want. Amen? And it was unreal. I tell other pastors and evangelists and whatever about that. Oh, you did something with the Dalits? They're poor people. Why would you do something with the Dalits? Because they need Jesus. How about that doing something with the Dalits? All right? And so the proof of our right relationship with God is our desire to embrace all. Paul says you go ahead and greet each other with a holy kiss. Amen? And that shows that the barriers have been torn down. Well, Father God, I thank you. I just kind of blabbered on earlier and didn't leave much time for preaching. But Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for what you have done here in this service. Lord, I just think of the parting words of the Apostle Paul to these people that he had spent so much time with, invested so much time. And he tells them, you know, I want you to agree with one another. I want you to live in peace, and I want you to greet one another with a holy kiss. Those were his parting words. He didn't say, get out there and fulfill the Great Commission. He said, as a church, we just need to be agreeing with each other, living in peace, and embracing each other in Jesus. The world sees that and knows that we have something special. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.